Okay, recording started. I'm Billy, I'm an alcoholic. Welcome everyone. A couple of reminders. 8 weeks from tonight, delegates will spend their last Wednesday night at home because 2 or 3 days later, they'll all be heading to New York. So it's 8 weeks to the General Service Conference. I know that background and final agendas are out. I know that a lot of areas have started to distribute the background material. I'm well aware that there are or remain in 2022 some areas that do not distribute the background material, and even one area left that does not distribute the final conference agenda. I'm not the king of AA. If I was, the doctor's opinion would be back to page one. But I'm not. All I can tell you is if you're unhappy with your area's process, then take the action inside your area to change it for the future. A lot of times inside AA service, it's painful, but you get to be part of changes that you don't get to benefit from, that other people will. And that is still amazing. But 8 weeks to go to your groups, go to your districts, go to your pre-conference events, reminding everyone, please know, go to your area website. All right, for some reason, people can still chat, so let me just get this out of the way. We provide ASL at this meeting. If you are not happy with that, I understand. And this is not the meeting for you to attend then. We intentionally pin the interpreter so that deaf people do not have to go crazy looking for the interpreter. I don't know why the chat is open, but that will be shut down soon. But again, in all honesty and respect, I get it. It might be an inconvenience for you. The only thing I could suggest is just think how often our deaf and Spanish-speaking friends are inconvenienced in Alcoholics Anonymous. And so one night a week for an hour, if we're inconveniencing the rest of us, so be it. That's just how it's going to be. We're on chapter 7, page 44, conference committees. You'll notice that this is a very quick chapter in the book. It basically just talks about three bullet points of what the committee does, how committee members are selected, electing committee chairs, and then it spells out the different conference committees and secondary committees, and that's it. I'm going to try to start from the beginning of the process so that everyone can kind of know what goes on, even behind, you know, if you've seen The Wizard of Oz, kind of pull the curtain back so that you can see actually what happens. And so what I would like to start with is last year's General Service Conference. I want to start from there. So we've already went over, but just in case someone's new, the delegates that were elected to start serving this year are panel 72 delegates. This is the 72nd General Service Conference. Last year, and let me just finish that. At this year's conference, there will be two types of delegates, area delegates, panel 71 and panel 72. The panel 71 delegates are the second year delegates. So last year at the conference, those panel 71 delegates who will be second year delegates this year, last year were first year delegates. At the end of their committee meeting last year, the entire committee, all first and second year delegates, elected a new chairperson for their conference committee. It is usually a majority vote, it's secret ballot. And the person who gets the second amount of votes becomes the alternate chair of the committee. once the conference is over, the second year delegates still have, like, I don't know, 8 months to finish their term. But once the conference is over, that delegate who was elected chair is now the chair of that committee. Those chairs start serving immediately after the conference. So that brings us to around November, December, October for some areas. Areas will start electing I'm just distracted by something that I'm seeing, so I just have to I just let everybody know that there is a conference action about members of AA's pictures, even if they're deceased. Only the family has the right to break their anonymity. I can't see whether that picture is a friend of AA or an AA member, but I would just ask you to take it down. Like I said, families can break anonymity, but the conference action even spells out that we don't use Bill and Bob's pictures. Their family can, but we don't. So in October, November, and some areas in December, the panel 72 delegates were elected. And the current delegate sends the name of the new officers, the area chair, the alternate delegate, the treasurer, the secretary, sends them all to the conference secretary in New York. And by about the second week in December, all area elections have taken place. And it's about 45 each year, give or take. But the 45 new delegate names have been received by the conference secretary. And then in the old days, it was done by hand, by index cards. Now they have a very simple program with an algorithm that randomly assigns people. And so half the conference, because their first year, they were already a delegate, knows what the committee they were on. They're on the same committee they were on last year. But the new delegates are all assigned to their committee. There are a couple of rules around this. A delegate is not allowed to serve on the committee that their predecessor served on. So if your area delegate was on the PI committee, your new area delegate will not be on the PI committee. And when I say rules, things we try to go by. There will be regionalization applied to the random algorithm, that we want each committee to be a fair representation of all the eight regions, making sure that at least there's one person from every region on each committee. This is one that's left over from the past, but we still have it. In the way back when, they were worried that delegates would lobby, and so they wanted to make sure that they wouldn't lobby, and so no delegate, no committee member is supposed to be on a committee with anyone else that geographically borders their area, meaning the borders of their area touch each other. I'm sure we all know, since we're halfway around the world tonight on Zoom, that we don't have to worry about geographic borders anymore, but those are all things that were put in place over time. And then for a while, there was making sure that there was female representation on each committee. I still can't get an answer on what the algorithm says now. I personally found it very offensive that we would be allowed to have an all-male committee, but not an all-female committee. We're going to sprinkle females throughout each committee. I'm not really sure which is more equal or equitable. Making sure there's females on each committee, or being a big enough boy to say, boy, if there was a committee of nine females, I'm sure they would do just as good or better a job than nine men, because we've had plenty of committees that were all men. But those committees are assigned in December. And right after Christmas, right around the first of the year, each delegate and alternate delegate gets the conference welcome kit. And inside that kit is the roster of all delegates, broken down by panel number and then area, and the committee assignment. You get your committee assignment then. And if you've been given a secondary committee, and I'll just explain that again, the primary conference committees are agenda, cooperating with the professional community, corrections, finance, grapevine, literature, policy admissions, public information, report and charter, treatment accessibilities, trustees. Those are the primary committees. The secondary committees are archives and international convention regional forums. So if you take that, about nine people on each committee, about 18 delegates each year are on secondary committees. And those secondary committees meet at night. So what happens next? Well, actually, a real lot from a conference committee point of view happens in January. Number one, the current conference committee chair, so that second year delegate now who's going to chair the committee, is invited to the January board weekend in New York. So all the conference chairs, all the committee chairs, and then the actual delegate chair are invited to the board weekend. And they get to attend all the meetings they want to attend. At their committee meeting, their corresponding trustees committee meeting, they actually sit at the table with the committee. They're not in the visitors section. They do not have a vote, but they sit right at the table. And the reason for this is twofold. Number one, I know one person here who's got enough service experience to remember some of the challenges of the past, but you know, in the 80s and early 90s, there were some challenges in Alcoholics Anonymous service. There was some feelings. Doesn't matter who was right or wrong. Perception is reality. And one of the things that past chair Jim Estelle thought would help would be to allow the chairs of the conference committees to come to a board weekend to like kind of get rid of the kind of mystique, the kind of like national security agency, meet in a bunker, everything we do is secret kind of outside view. And instead allow the conference committee chairs to come to New York. He also thought, and so did the trustees who voted to approve this plan, was that it would be good for the conference chair to hear what was going on at the trustees committee, that maybe that would help them out in their conference committee meetings. And it would give them a heads up as to what might be coming at the conference. The only meeting that I know of that the delegates are not invited to are executive session of nominating, executive session of AA World Services and AA Grapevine Board, which they usually can't make those meetings because they have an orientation on Friday for all the delegate chairs to kind of walk them through how the board weekend operates and what they'll see. They can attend the executive session of the General Service Board. And those are sessions where very privileged and confidential information regarding trustee selections, maybe legal and HR issues might happen. So in respect to our employees and everybody else, those are confidential meetings. But 98% of the board weekend, the delegates get to go to whatever they want to go to. After that weekend, and this is something that also in the early 2000s, we always have things that become problems in AA service. In the early 2000s, there was a feeling that trustees and staff could get something on the conference agenda, but the average AA member could not. And that average AA members would send things in over and over. And that was their feelings. I'm just respecting their feelings. I'm not saying it was true or they were mistreated. But if you look at last year's conference agenda, it is kind of unusual to see so many agenda items from a trustee or from a group that's not even an AA group. A group of people that just have a conference call once a month that a couple of trustees or past trustees. So another document that was created was the spreadsheet. I don't know if what delegates do with it, if they send it out with background or they don't. But I'll just tell you that it exists. And that spreadsheet came to be in around 2012, 13. Again, in the interest of transparency, every item that's sent in to be put on the conference agenda is logged on that spreadsheet. And then that spreadsheet will say, what was the agenda item? What trustees committee or corporate board did it get sent to? And where is it now? Did it get sent to the conference? Did they take no action and just wrote a letter back to the sender and said, we're going to take no action on this? Is it still currently being discussed by a trustees committee? There was a feeling that the conference should be more involved in the agenda selection. As you know, there is a conference committee called the agenda committee, but they have no input in the agenda. I'm not giving an opinion. I'm just stating a fact. If you read their description, it says, review and approve the overall format and content of the agenda for the annual conference. Consider proposed conference themes, workshops, presentation, discussion topics, and they review the conference evaluation and questionnaire that every conference member gets. What they don't do is send things to the conference. That falls to the trustees and the corporate boards. But that spreadsheet is sent out with the background so that the delegates can see transparently what happened to any item sent in. Another piece of transparency that developed in the mid 2011, 12, 13, 14, 15 was that after the January board weekend, the chair of the trustees committee, the staff member, for the secretary for that committee has a conference call with the conference committee, the full committee. And they review anything important from the prior board meetings and talk about things that were sent to the conference. So that's a lot that goes on before we even get to right now. So right now, we could say that everybody got the background, but that wouldn't be technically true. And I just want to make sure that I explain that. Copyrighted material has to be handled with care. And when we are proposing a new book or pamphlet or revising one that's already copyrighted, for the literature committee, draft things that are going to be approved at the conference are only sent to the conference literature committee. They are not sent to the other members of the conference. And the reason, unfortunately, is because somebody posts it on the internet right away. And it's not a completed document. And it's not been approved yet. So only the members of the literature committee. Now, there are other committees that might have a piece of literature on their agenda and they might be approving the final version. And if so, that final version will only go to the members of that committee. And then, so I'll get to the conference and we'll talk about how that affects it at the conference. Before the conference, so in the next 8 weeks, it used to be strictly prohibited that conference committees were not allowed to get together before the conference, not even on a conference call, never mind Zoom, not even on a conference call. And people used to say, well, because there's 1 week of the conference and that's the only time things should be discussed. Now, that sounds good, but I know there's a lot of people involved in service here. And what's one of our mantras? The conference is a year-long process, right? We say that all the time. The conference is just not the week of the conference. It's from the end of last year's conference to the start of this year's conference. And so they started to soften up on that. So committees could have a conference call. And what would you do on that conference call? There's a couple of things you would do on that conference call. You might reorder your agenda. That's perfectly up to the committee. Just because you got sent an agenda that says A to L doesn't mean you have to work from A to L. There may be an idea that maybe some things might be disposed of quickly and we want to get them out of the way right away. There might be one or two like nuclear bomb items and you know that they're going to take forever. So you put them at the end because you don't want to run out of time. You know, you want to get rid of the other stuff and then have as much time as possible to discuss them. A committee might talk about what breaks it's going to take, or based on their agenda being long, are they going to get together early, maybe at 8 o'clock instead of 9 o'clock? Maybe they're going to get together Sunday night after the opening dinner. So that all happens, but they don't have discussion and debate on conference items before the conference. I just want to stress that. That's debate and discussion is left for the conference. When they get to New York, most conference committees in today's age have been communicating with each other. I mean, let's face it, it's 2022. Every conference committee probably has some kind of group email list. And again, not discussion and debate, but think about things that might happen because some of you have seen the background. The background is put together by human beings who try to do a really good job. And sometimes in a short amount of time, between the January board weekend and February 15th. And if there's new things that got sent to the conference at the January board weekend, there's 2 weeks. But I'm sure some of you have an idea of how just, you know, I know we're digital now, thank God. But, you know, we went through quite a lot of trees as a fellowship. There was never a piece of paper we didn't like to print a report on or create minutes or create a guidebook or God knows what else. And so you have to think and be fair to these staff members, you know, trying to locate anything that could be possibly interesting for that item is a tough role. So one of the things probably the conference committees are discussing, and I'm talking about my experience as a conference committee member. And I was just talking to the Southeast Regional Trustee, Tom H., about this when he chaired the Conference Committee on Trustees. Conference committee members are going to be looking for other AA information about those background items that might not be in the background material. There's no rule that says you can't look at something else. It's just not part of the official background. But I can tell you, when I was a delegate, both years, everybody brought stuff with them. Hey, did you ever consider this? Did you consider that? The delegate chair of that committee has probably spoken to the new members of that committee. and probably right around now is telling them to become very familiar with what happened at last year's conference. They're also probably telling them to look up the book, The Histories in Action of the General Service Conference, and maybe go back at least 5 years for your committee and see what your committee's been up to. Some of us more crazy people might go back to the very start of time. But some would say at least go back 5 years. And I would tell you, I'm not saying to read it all at once, but that History and Actions of the General Service Conference does not get enough play as to how important that piece of literature is. It tells a story like no other book can. It really does. I even love, it's funny because he just rotated out, but he was arch enemy number one for a while, because there was a delegate who scanned every conference report and would hand it out on CDs. And of course, GSO went crazy, but people loved it because the conference reports also have the narratives in them from the topics and the panels and the board reports. And so it tells a lot about what's going on in AA at that time. The History and Actions, year by year, what each committee did, I will just tell you, you will be fascinated by some of the advisory actions in the past. You will see that we discuss the same things over and over again. You will see that we change our minds, then change our minds again, and change our minds again on the same topic. But from a history point of view, it is a great book. I'm not saying read it all at once. I'm just saying it's a good book to give a read. And if you have an electronic version, how great is it? You know, it's funny because I'll tell you, it's so important to, you know, get information. Somebody called me about 2 months ago and said, Billy, I can't believe it. There's no conference actions about the prudent reserve the trustees have. And I said, are you searching the word prudent? And he said, yeah. I said, well, that's because we call it the reserve fund. If you would type in reserve into that little PDF search bar, you would see any time we ever did something that had to do with the reserve fund. But you could type singleness of purpose in there. You could type seventh tradition. You could type in donation and you could see the conference action that says we don't do that word anymore, that we've taken it out of our literature. It's just a very helpful book, especially if you're a voting delegate who's getting prepared to go to conference. At the conference this year, I think I went into it last year, but I'll talk a little bit more about it tonight. Those conference committees will meet on Monday and Tuesday. Some of them might meet an extra day if they need it. Their GSO staff person will be the secretary of that committee. The secretary of that committee will not have a vote and does not have a voice. That's a misnomer. They have a voice to provide institutional history or to answer questions about background. They do not have a voice on the debate currently being discussed inside the conference committee. Only the conference members do. I can't speak for all conference chairs. I was a conference chair. I spoke to other conference chairs about how to be a decent conference committee chair. I can share with you what was shared with me. Number one, it was shared with me that, Billy, sometimes when you get a fancy AA title, you lose some personal freedom. That your job is more about the whole than it is about your individual part. So that meant that I was told that on most items, I did not need to speak if it was going my way. If it was something that I really felt passionate about, then of course I could share my 2 cents. But that I had to realize my number one commitment was to chair that committee effectively. And chairing AA meetings is tough, any kind of service meeting in AA. You know, because for me, I'm 32 years old or 33, and I'm telling someone they're going on too long. Could you please wrap it up? You know, but it's better that the chair rolls those rules out ahead of time. Like, hey, we're going to go with the 2 or 3 minute each rule. And nobody shares twice until everybody has shared at least one time that wants to share. Not making people be too hungry or too tired. Taking breaks when needed. And trying to live the ninth concept, which especially the word flexibility. As a chair, you have to be flexible. And you have to try sometimes to get, especially if there's really extreme views in the room, can we sometimes, you know, find what we agree on? And then we can talk about what we can disagree on. But can we at least get what we agree on? So it's a tough role to be a chair of a conference committee. As the conference committee passes advisory actions, some conference committees do it by 2/3, some do it by majority. They decide that at the beginning of their session too. That's one of the housekeeping items a committee decides. The secretary writes what they believe the committee just passed. And then before the, like the next, that night at dinner or the next morning at breakfast, that secretary will come looking, the conference secretary, the GSO staff member will come looking for the chair of that committee. And they will give them a draft version of their report. And then the conference chair of the committee has to sign that report to say, yes, that is what we did and that is what we said. I would say 90% of the time, it's not an issue. But there have been times when committees have steadfast that maybe somebody at GSO thought that it sounded better another way. And committees have put their feet down and said, no, this is exactly what we said and exactly what we want in the advisory action. After that, the conference committee chair, we talked about this a little last week, will present the findings of the committee to the whole conference body. They will read the whole report, the advisory actions, and the additional considerations. Once the whole report is read, then the chair will go one by one of the advisory actions. Remember that because it came from a committee, it is considered a made motion that is seconded. So once I read A, then discussion and debate open up. After all recommendations are dealt with, either passed or failed, or we have a new thing that we use sometimes, it's called to recommit. And so that means everybody kind of likes the idea, but there's something about it that enough people don't like that it's never going to get 2/3. So somebody makes a motion to recommit it to that trustees committee and bring it back next year. Otherwise, committees take no, otherwise it's a pass or a fail vote. After all recommendations are disposed with, then the floor of the body is allowed to ask questions about additional considerations. But not, there's no debate on additional considerations. Before the conference committee broke, they elected their chair, obviously, for next year. But that basically is conference committee. So I would open it up for questions. I would remind people the next couple of chapters are the General Service Board, the Board's Operating Corporations, the General Service Office, AA World Service, and AA Grapevine. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're probably going to go another 7 or 8 weeks, though, because I am going to start having people appear like a game show, surprise, so-and-so is here tonight, and they're going to discuss that role. I can handle the delegate role, conference committee chair role, general service trustee, but I want a Class A trustee, and I want a staff member, and I want a trustee at large and a regional trustee and someone from the Grapevine, so that you get direct, hear it direct from them, their experience. And we'll let them talk for 15 to 20 minutes. I'll review the chapter quickly, and then we'll go to questions. That's it. I'm going to go to questions tonight. I already see I have a bunch. Okay. Let's see. The person who's talking about you in the chair at Dr. Bob's house, that's not the picture I was referring to, but thank you. Why are delegates not assigned to committees based on past experience that delegates may have in a specific committee that they can draw upon? It's a great, great, great question. Don P., past trustee at large, felt it should be this way. He thought delegate committee assignments should be the same as trustee committee assignments. So when I'm a trustee, I get a list with like 11 spaces on it, or 10 spaces. And I get to submit the top 10 committees I want to serve on, starting with the one I want to be on the most, number one. And that's so that we get people who are experienced and want to be there. I've heard people say, and it drives me crazy, and maybe it's just my personal opinion, but I have a personal opinion about corrections in AA. I just do. And so when I hear someone say they know nothing about corrections, but now I guess is their time to learn, I'm not really sure the time to learn and voting about alcoholics who are dying in our prisons is at the level of the General Service Conference. I just don't. But for now, that's our process. But someone could send in an agenda item and say, hey, why couldn't delegates rank the top 3 or 4 committees they want to be on? Where can you get a searchable advisory actions PDF? I would ask your delegate for one. It might be on AA.org. How do the committees decide what items move forward as a recommendation, what items to take no action? By the vote. It has to be a majority vote at least, or if a committee is using 2/3, it has to be a 2/3 vote to move the item forward. Also, can you say what you said again about recommitting a motion? Yes, the chair will accept a motion from the floor to recommit something back to the trustees committee that sent it to the conference. And that vote can be seconded and voted on. Are area delegates allowed to choose their committees? No, they're not. Is there any way to get involved or invited to the General Service Conference without ever being a delegate? Yes. So, I have to break that down then. the only people allowed in the room are people that are approved at the opening meeting that I talked about last week. Not the opening dinner, but the roll call. So, observers from other GSOs. I have a great picture at Stepping Stones with two trustees from India I became very close to. They were our observers 1 year. The conference will also approve non-voting members that work at GSO to be in the room. The archivist, publications director, staff assistants. They will also approve trustee emeriti, past chairs of the General Service Board that we'll describe when we talk about the General Service Board. But if you're a trustee emeriti, and there's very few of them, they're approved to be there by the conference, but they have no vote. And they usually come to the microphone if they have institutional history to share about something we're discussing. The only other place a guest can attend is the opening dinner on Sunday night. Every delegate, every voting member of the conference is invited with a guest to the opening dinner. There is also the guests of the General Service Board, like the Al-Anon Family Group's chair and general manager. Sometimes representatives of other 12-step fellowships. Maybe our lawyers and our accountants that work so hard for us, our auditors. We might invite a couple of them to the opening dinner. Retired GSO and Grapevine staff are invited to the opening dinner. And past trustees are invited to the opening dinner. So those are the only visitors and places you can actually attend as a visitor. Is the panel number reserved for delegates, or is it use the DCMs and GSRs as well? You know, that's really a custom by area. In some areas, the only place you'll ever hear the panel number referenced is by the delegate or alternate delegate. In other areas, they actually embrace that term and say, I'm the panel 72 area chair, or these are our panel 72 officers. So it really goes by area. Does the delegate stay on the same committee? Yes, both years, same committee. The 71st General Service Conference Committee said they wanted more info, so never made a recommendation to the floor for preamble. How is there floor actions after this? I'm confused, as it shows there were 6 floor actions on this and it passed. So let me explain a technicality of the General Service Conference. Let's say the Grapevine Conference Committee had approved a recommendation for the preamble. And let's say it went to the floor. If it was not approved by the floor, it would not allowed to be a floor action. Items are only allowed to be discussed once at the General Service Conference. But because the committee took no action and it never made it to the floor, a floor action was permissible. You know what? I forgot somebody else. The New York Intergroup Hospitality Committee, they get invited to the opening dinner. They provide hospitality and take guests on subways and the Met games and Broadway shows and things like that. Does the International Conventions Committee include international members, not just Canada? In general, I'm concerned that certain committees might not include the direct voices, very populations who are impacted by a particular committee's discussion, and in turn by the discussions by the conference. Great question on so many levels. I really don't even know where to start. It's important to know the real name of the International Alcoholics Anonymous Convention. A lot of you know the name I call it, joking around. The largest gathering of unlicensed medical providers in the world, right? That's just a joke, right? But what is the real name? the real name is the International Convention of Alcoholics Anonymous, hosted by the General Service Structure of the United States and Canada. We are the hosts. It only is in Canada or the United States. That's not because we're picking on anybody. We would gladly welcome another General Service Structure to have an international convention of their own, hosted by them. But we have an immense fiduciary responsibility as directors of a nonprofit board with our money. And so it is hosted in the United States or Canada. And only members, delegates from the United States and Canada are on that committee. How are the secondary committee members chosen? And are they generally second year delegates that will serve on the second? No. If you're a secondary committee, if you're on a secondary committee, you're selected right from the start. You're on year one, you're on year two. And it's just a random selection of the 45 new delegates. We pull out four or five, depending on how many we need that year. Why doesn't every proposal submitted to be an agenda item and discussed by the conference as a whole? Great question. I'll say, let's not start with the grassy knoll and conspiracy theories, right? Let's start with valid reasons, right? Number one, you might send in an item that doesn't need to be conference approved. We don't need to tie the conference up with things that they don't need to approve. The conference is for matters of lodge policy and finance. You might send in something you want changed in a pamphlet, but that pamphlet is service material. It's not conference approved material. So a trustees committee or a general service board could deal with it. You might have been someone who said, you know what, I think we should have a Braille big book. And we do. And we have a Braille service manual. But that doesn't need to go to the conference. That's a translation and a format issue that AA World Services can deal with. So there are lots of things that get sent in that don't need to go to the conference. Now, if it does need conference approval, maybe it's been at the conference 3 years in a row, the trustees might be deciding, listen, this went to the conference for 3 years and didn't pass. It does not need to go back. But the person could make a floor action, their delegate. It might be that the trustees committee is working on it. You might have given an idea for a great new project. You might have, and listen, AA members send in great ideas. But if your idea is like a really good one, but it's going to require a lot of work, it might get assigned to a trustees committee and they might form a subcommittee. And they'll send it to the conference when they're done with their work. So there's lots of reasons. If your delegate will send you that spreadsheet, I would strongly suggest taking a look at it. Can an AA member come observe a conference? Only if approved by the conference. And only right now, foreign GSOs can apply to come as a visitor. Are you coming to the opening dinner this year? Yes, I am. In Area 82, we are being told by the area chair. I'm not reading that question. I'm just not going to pick on any areas. It's just better to leave that off to the side. I'm going to go to the next question. I'm being told by the area chair that the quarterly area's offices meeting, attended on Zoom by DCMs and area officers, is a closed meeting and observers are not allowed. I'm aware of a few of these. There's not many left. Areas where the area committee meeting is a closed meeting. I know because I went to one. They invited me to their assembly, and I had to get approved to attend the area committee meeting as a visitor. How does a new agenda item get to committee for consideration? The way I explained, you send it in. It could come from a group, it could come from a district, it could come from an area, it could come from a member. It could come from a couple members. It goes in and it goes to the conference secretary. The conference secretary reads it. If it's easy to identify which committee it would fall to, they'll say, I'm sending that to the Public Information Trustees Committee, or I'm sending that to the Corrections Committee, or I'm sending that to the Finance Committee. I'm sending that to, if it's something that's borderline, like the conference secretary doesn't know what committee to send it to, they'll send it to the Trustees Conference Committee. And the next time the Trustees Conference Committee meets, they'll decide which committee to direct it to. Has there been any discussion to redraw the region maps to more equitably represent the number of AAs in North America in each region? Yes. Yep. It comes up every once in a while. There are some people that feel the Northeast and the Pacific region are too large. They think it's too big for one trustee to handle. It's too much work. And they also think that those regions have an unfair advantage for trustee at large elections. Because they have more voting members. So it has come up. What is the difference between the assembly and the conference? The assembly is your area assembly, your area number 1 through 93. The conference, and at your area assembly, that's where GSRs and DCMs and all your area officers gather. At the conference, only your area delegate is allowed to attend. Can you foresee when a time when YPA, Young People in AA, becomes a conference committee? I hope not, to be perfectly honest. I hate anything that separates or tells young people. I mean, my history in Young People's AA is I was the chair of the ICKYPA Advisory Council in 98 and 96 and 97. I'm a delegate and past trustee. The chair after me of the ICKYPA Advisory Council, he was a delegate and he's the current Southeast Regional Trustee. The chair of the ICKYPA Advisory Council after them was a delegate from Hawaii. Two chairs later was Tom M. from Dallas, who served as a delegate from Northeast Texas. I could draw like a presidential map of great trusted general servants from all over the country. And I think anything we do that takes away from people having a strong home group and knowing that's where their vote is and that's how they participate in general service, I'm all for Young People's AA, but I'm not sure that would be a good idea, but maybe I'm wrong. If there are 9 delegates on each committee, why did I understand that only 3 people were working on a plain language big book? Because the people working on the plain language big book is a subcommittee of the trustees literature committee. That's not a conference committee. That subcommittee of the trustees literature committee is working on it during the year. And they sent a report back to this year's conference literature committee. So that's why only 3 people. It's not a conference committee. That is a trustees ad hoc committee or a ad hoc committees or a subcommittee of the trustees literature committee. Or it might be of AAWS because it's a translation, but it's either one of them. It's not a conference committee. Is there any form on AA.org website to use if I want to request an agenda item for next year? If so, what are the search words to find it? I don't know what the search words are. You could ask your delegate. There is a new complicated form. I would tell you the way that I read the concepts in the charter. If you took a paper towel out of your kitchen right now and took a crayon and submitted an agenda item, that is your right as an AA member. I don't find anything in the concepts of the charter that say that we limit our boss's way of requesting an agenda item. There is a new form to kind of make things a little easier. Let's see. I'm confused. the advisory actions that come out of conference committees, recommendations that get debated by the whole conference, or are they automatically considered an advisory action and published in a PDF? No. Out of the conference committee comes recommendations. Only if it's approved by two-thirds of the conference does it become an advisory action. So, great question. Dio, is there anyone in ASL or Spanish who has any questions?
We might want to check with Amalia because I don't have anybody that raised their hand.
I'll switch. Hold on.
Thank you.
Amalia, can you hear me?
Okay. Billy, you can come back to us. We can hear her on this side.
Okay, I'm here. You hear me, Dee? Dee, is she coming back with a question?
Yeah, we don't have any.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
If we're not fans of the new conference agenda item submission form, who should we talk to request a change? I would talk to your delegate. If you have a regional service assembly like PRASA or NARASA, one of the others, I would talk to people there. My District 10 is having an agenda topic workshop on the 72nd General Service Conference. Can you suggest how I prepare to be efficient with all the topics? Well, hold on a second. I want to grab something. If this is what you mean by all the topics, I have like every page. I went through it with someone. I pretty much crossed out all the nonsense that I thought groups would not care about, but delegates are more than qualified to vote. But I would go through that agenda and I would decide, the person just told me it's 2 hours. I would say, what are the 5 or 10 items you want to discuss? What are those 5 or 10 items? What are the important ones that you really think the group and the district will dig into? That's the best way. And then read the background material for those items. And then get to the other background material. The background material is over 1,000 pages again this year, so it's a lot. All right, Dee, that's it.
You want to just, Luciana, we have anybody from the ASL community?
Oh, yes. Luciana, any ASL? Nobody, Luciana? Okay. By the way, thank you. Good to see you. All right, Dee. That's it. We'll close with the responsibility statement. Oh, and by the way, this week's NARASA. Maybe a bunch of you will be there. I don't know. I know I'll be there. But if you're there, I hope to meet you. So that's it. We'll close with the responsibility statement. I am responsible. When anyone, anywhere reaches out for help, I want the hand of AA always to be there. And for that, I am responsible. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you, Billy. Good night. Good night, everybody. See you next week.